Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 17th of January, Anno Domini 2015. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. I love these kinds of stories. They're so obviously biased. There was one years ago, many years ago, about how Mac users were stupider than PC users because they had icons.
Yeah.
And therefore, they couldn't read anymore. And here comes one in a much similar vein. If you are not already aware of how far technology has come to rule our lives, the result of a new study could make you worry. Is your smartphone always by your side? Do you consistently invest in supplementary technology in order to be connected in situations that were not previously possible? If the answer is yes, then you should take note of the following. Researchers at the University of Missouri separated a group of iPhone owners from their prized possessions before measuring their results in certain cognitive tests. Our findings suggest that iPhone separation can negatively impact performance on mental tasks, said lead study author Russell Clayton. Who knew that just being away from your smartphone could, in effect, make you more stupid? And if that wasn't bad enough, the iPhone has taken on a more significant psychological role, too. Additionally, the results of our study suggest that iPhones are capable of becoming an extension of ourselves such that when separated, we experience a lessening of self and a negative physiological state, continued Clayton.
You took away my toy.
Exactly. In order to carry out a fair test, the researchers told the subjects they were testing a wireless blood pressure cuff before making them solve word puzzles, which they had to attempt both with and without their faithful iPhone phones. The study covered 40 iPhone users, which is a fairly insignificant number, but neither here nor there. And it is not yet known whether Android users suffer the same separation anxiety. Somebody give me a grant. The researchers told a little white lie to get the subjects to surrender their phones, telling them they were interfering with the signal from the blood pressure cuff. They then called the phone during the tests. Cognitive function took a nosedive when separated, and even more so following the staged phone call. Is this really a sign of acute technology dependence? Or could it just be a natural response to the possibility of bad news? Can this research be applied to owners of other brands of smartphone or iPhone users particularly susceptible to separation anxiety? The study certainly raises more questions than answers. Therefore, our tongue-in-cheek poll of the week at Soundbites. Tongue-in-cheek poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like to remind you, is iPhone users more stupid when separated from their phones? Your choices are, clearly, they're not that smart with their iPhones. That can't be right. I know I'm just as smart. I know I'm not. And I'm taking this poll on my iPhone now, so I know I'm right. So far, 34 of you have voted, and of course the number one response is they're not that smart with their iPhones. But I know you'll have more to say, particularly with such a scientifically accurate and well thought out scientific survey as this one. So if you scroll down on the right, you'll see forums, and the second forum in is the poll discussion, and the first choice is 17 Jan 15, iPhone users more stupid when separated from their phones. So please leave your comments and suggestions. And remember, I didn't write this poll. I mean, I didn't write this study. I didn't create this study. I just put it online because I thought it was the most hysterical thing I'd read all week. And then, of course, join us here. You can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
There's a TV show on the National Geographic Channel called Brain Games. They just started a new season this week. And they do these types of things where they test cognitive function. They test. They did one on greed. It was one of the classic bar bets where you put two people with a pot of money. One person can decide how much money they keep versus they give to the other person. And of course, the obvious thing is to split the money between the people. But they could tell who were more greedy by who took all of it themselves. Did you leave a little bit for the other person? You know, a lot for the other person. So they do all these kind of games. And they did one with cell phones. They didn't tell them that was the point of the test, but they put them all in this room to take some sort of test. And there was a pretty big monetary, you know, incentive to finish the test. But they collected all the phones, and then they would ring everybody's phone and see what would happen. And some people got up and looked at it, but didn't answer it. Some people picked it up but one guy picked it up, answered it, and started talking. And then they come in and tell everyone what's really going on. And he lost out on the money. So it was really, and you know, I expect this is true for any gadget you have. You
yeah,
know.
They yeah. did iPhone users, but so what? I mean, yep. we've all seen people who can, I'm one of those people who can ignore my phone.
Yeah.
Let it ring. I let it there come. I don't care if I'm doing something that strikes me as,
yeah,
unless I'm waiting for something for my wife or my daughter, right? But in general,
text and all that type of stuff, folks say, don't you think you should get that? And my response is, you know what? It still is a phone,
right? Yeah.
And if it's that much of an emergency, call me. A text or that type of stuff,
right?
Yeah. If I get to it right away, or whether I wait a half hour, that's okay. I'm not going to worry about it. You know, I don't. Like I say, if it is that important, it is still a phone,
right?
Yeah.
Phones were around before texting.
Although I tend not to answer phone numbers I don't recognize.
Oh, I refuse to.
Which was a problem for me last night because I typed my credit card wrong on the pizza order form. And they were calling me to let me know I'm not getting my pizza until I get the right number.
Right. I have a special ringtone for my wife and a separate special ringtone for my daughter. So if I hear those, I will tend to answer the phone. Otherwise, let it ring.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that, but a lot of people do. I know people. I see students do it all the time. I tell them, well, during class, I tell them, look, you're an adult. If you want to answer the phone, go out in the hall and miss class.
Yeah.
But during exams, I expect you to shut your phone off. I tell them, if I hear a phone ring, you flunk.
Good.
And you watch the anxiety in their faces, mm-hmm, as they turn off, because I always remind them. They turn off their ringtones and put their phones in their bags or whatever.
Yeah.
You can see their hands shaking. They can't take it.
Didn't you say someone wanted to be able to check on their Craigslist auction that was ending during the exam?
That happened. I had somebody say that you know, I need to answer the phone because I'm waiting for a call back about a date tonight. No.
Yeah, no, I know.
Well, that's when you go over and answer it.
I've told people, you leave, if you've got an emergency. One girl said, my daughter is sick. I know she's married. I know she's got a kid. I knew the kid was sick because her husband was in one of my other classes. So her I let slide. That's right. Different.
That is a medical emergency. You know,
sick
yeah.
family, whatever. That's fine. But I will tell people, leave the phone with me. I promise not to order too many pizzas on it or call like, you know, whatever. Singapore. But... Yeah. If you're awaiting a call,
blow out your minutes. But yeah, no, that's why I have a problem with the folks that think, you know, the phone goes off at like a text coming in. Oh, well, I got to answer. I got to see what they want.
Why we need smartwatches, because then you can see who it is before without taking it out of your pocket.
No, even if they pick up the phone and look at it.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I got to get back to them. No, not if you're busy.
I will call people on it. If they look at their phone and said, I will say, I'm sorry that I'm boring you. I'm sorry that I'm not important enough for you to pay attention to this conversation. I guess we should end it now.
Yeah.
And I'll just walk away. Or if we're having lunch or something, I'll call for the check. If I'm giving you all my attention, you should be giving me all your attention.
Yeah.
That's this, you know, again, if it's, you know, often I would go to lunch with people who were working. They're mm-hmm. salespeople or whatever.
Right.
Not a problem. You answer the phone because it's work. I get that. Mm-hmm. But if it's just, you know, two people having lunch or whatever, and the phone is more important than me, why did you bother to come to lunch with me?
Yeah. Yeah. Or like you say, you're sitting there and having dinner or something else, and then, you know, somebody else texts, well, I got to get back to them on this or that. And it's like, really? Right now? How do they know that you couldn't be busy doing something else? You know, I mean, again, if it is that important, my take is it's still a phone.
It comes down to the philosophy, is the phone your servant or are you the phone servant?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember reading a science fiction book where a guy was being treated for a psychic disorder because he didn't want to keep his phone implant with him all the time. And he kept throwing them in the sinks and toilets and you know, what's wrong with you? Why don't you want?
Right.
Yeah. So we got to find the right medicine to give you so you want to have that phone implanted in your head.
Right. Exactly.
Which is the next thing coming, of course. I mean, you know.
Well, that is next. That's exactly right. And eventually we'll get to to Asimov's Caves of Steel, where no two human beings ever actually meet, and it'll all be holograms. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is our friend Linda from Greece, New York. Hi there, Linda. What's up?
Hi. Boy, have I had soundbite withdrawal.
Uh-oh.
I had hip replacement surgery, and the hospital and the rehab center couldn't get your channel.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that's cool. I've had soundbite withdrawal.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, welcome back. I hope the hip replacement went very well.
It did. Thank you. Do you remember, maybe 10, 20 years ago, where when you did a math test, you didn't have calculators?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Okay. Now, I just remembered this. And then, you know, they got the calculators out. Well, I was in college back in the 80s, and they said, okay, you're going to take a math test. You can't use your calculators.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I mean, I grew up without a calculator, so I had no problem. You want to see people freak out because they couldn't use their calculators?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, these were young kids. I was in my 30s. These were young kids that were in my class.
Yep.
And they were freaking out. You mean, and the professor says, you can use your fingers if you want to.
Most of them don't know how to do that either.
But I just wanted to put that in because that iPhone thing is stupid. Sorry.
No, it is. Yeah. I completely agree. It was the funniest thing I read all week, and it just
struck
me.
But I just thought I'd put that calculator thing in because that reminded me. I said, "Oh my God, how?" Okay, my question for Steve. I called Apple support, and I do not like the new update for iTunes. I can't stand it. You know why I can't stand it? Because you used to be able to go in and you used to be able to say, I want to do a list view. Well, you can't do that. I called Apple because now they give you the little squares of everything. That drives me nuts.
It's still in there. It's just hiding.
Well, the Apple support person couldn't find it.
It's hiding really good.
So
we think
what I wanted to do is I have a new iPod Nano, and I got it for Christmas. And, you know, my iPod Touch, I want to use it for other things. So I'm trying to figure out, how do I do this? How do I create playlists? Do you know it took a person 20 minutes to figure out, this is from Apple, how to create a playlist? Okay, can you tell me a simple way of how do I create a playlist on my computer that I could transfer to my iPod Nano? The lady was going to send me something, and she never did. I looked it up, and I can't find anything. It's simple.
Well, there's two things. One of them is that Apple has been removing the sidebar.
I know.
And a lot of people use that sidebar to jump to other pieces. So now instead of a sidebar, there's a little tiny icon at the top where you have a music clef icon to see your music.
Might be crazy.
in the middle of the window, there is a button that says playlists. So you've got my music playlists, and then there's match and radio. But if you go to playlists, the sidebar comes back. And then
where is this again?
In the middle of the iTunes window, near the top, just below the center.
Just below the center.
At the top, there's a gray bar with an Apple logo in the middle.
Yeah.
Just below that.
Oh, okay.
And then you have the far right button that shows you your album covers. And this is left over from Steve Jobs, you know, because we all buy things by album. That's actually a menu where it says albums. You can pull that down, and you can choose by song, and then you see your list view again.
Oh, I told the lady, I says, have you ever heard the saying, if it ain't broken, don't fix it?
Yeah. Yeah.
She said to me, well, we got to modernize it. I says, who said?
Yeah.
Well, I gave her a hard time. I said, who said? I says, version 8 and version 9 were real easy for me. I says, now you're doing well, the younger people. I says, so what about us old farts?
Yeah, I don't mind them adding features, but leave it the old way for those of us that are still there.
What I said.
Yeah.
And That's what I said. Yeah. I thought to myself, you're driving me nuts here. So, and I also had a problem putting buying audiobooks from iTunes. I gave that up. I bought a subscription to Audible. I thought to myself, because I buy things and then they never show up. Apple finally gave me about $70 back. I bought Audible and I have no problem.
Yeah. Yep. So those are part of the buttons at the top left now, underneath your play pause.
Uh-huh.
Where it starts by showing you music, movies, and TV shows, and then there's three little dots. And you can show other things, including audiobooks and podcasts and iTunes U.
Yeah,
then you can see where they were.
I gave up. I gave up. I told him, I says, I will buy TV shows, fine. I said, but I gave up on audiobooks. The books are $22 on iTunes.
Right, yeah, that's a bigger issue, too. Audiobooks are better as a subscription to Audible. Much, much cheaper that way than trying to buy one audiobook at a time.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you guys very much.
All right. Thanks. Got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you 22 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Skip in there.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 27 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Steve from Greece, New York on the line. Welcome, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. A friend of mine called me with an issue on her computer. It wasn't a big deal, and I'm probably going to give you more information that I needed than you need, but anyway. So
go for it.
Yeah. She said there was an error message when she booted up, and all she did was click on it, and everything went fine. When I got to her house, it's a laptop running Windows 7. Sorry. When I booted up, I got a flash screen that said loading update 274 of 274. I didn't know what that was from, either did she. But when she booted up, it said it couldn't find her user profile. So, obviously, every time I clicked on her profile to launch, it didn't launch. I ended up, long story short, going into safe mode, rolling back to system restore to an earlier version, and was able to get the computer to boot and be able to access it normally. I then went back into safe mode, danced the tango, so everything should be okay.
Good.
Rebooted again, set another restart point just in case.
Yep.
Now, the message is still there. It's there was a problem starting C/users/name/CNMSS. The specified module could not be found. I thought that might have something to do with her Canon printer. So I went in, and there was an update driver. We loaded that. Started again, still have the problem. I did a search for that file using Agent Ransack. I found the file, but it was copy in parentheses after it, and I can't remember the last part. Basically, it said copy. I renamed it to the file it was looking for. It still failed. So I have no idea how to get rid of there was a problem starting C/users/name/CNMSS.
Okay, what you probably should do is uninstall. Did you uninstall and reinstall the printer?
I did not.
Yeah, I would do that. There is a that sometimes happens. Several people have seen this, and it is one of the possibilities is that it's for a Canon printer. So if you uninstall and reinstall, you should be okay.
Do you believe that CNMSS is a Canon issue?
Well, there is a file like that that comes with Canon drivers.
Right, okay.
That, you know, there's no law that says there can't be two of that file name.
Okay.
But I would uninstall the printer, and certainly the driver.
I was going to say, there's also two airplanes with that registration number. Airbus A320s.
Hopefully it's not that.
Yeah. What may have prompted this initially is that update 274. Do you know if she does her updates regularly?
Yes, but Windows updates, they give you a percentage when they're installing. They don't give you...
Right.
Well, oftentimes they'll do a count. I know, you know, just had a machine this week where we installed a fresh copy of Windows 7, and then there was 131 updates to install.
Yeah.
And so it counted through them all, and then there were, I think, 57 updates to install. And so that's what I was thinking, is maybe she hadn't run her updates in a while.
She's on automatic updates. When we set it up, I put her on automatic updates.
She isn't in France, is she?
No.
Okay, because CNMSS is also the Caisse Nationale Militaire de Sécurité Sociale.
Actually, when I did a research, I saw that.
Yeah. So if she's not in France, it's likely to be the Canon Canon program. And what it sounds like is, in fact, that file has somehow gone missing. And, of course, that way you will not be able to find it.
But there was one that I found. It seemed to be in the right spot, and I just renamed it. The one that said copy, it said copy, it had copy in parentheses and then local in parentheses.
Still, I wouldn't trust it. I would just uninstall and reinstall, see what happens.
And probably delete the printer icon from the printer's folder, too, just to be safe.
Okay.
Right, I mean, completely make sure it's gone.
And then before you reinstall it, boot a couple of times and see if the message went away.
Yes, okay. All right. I'm wondering, is that something I can do remotely from...
Sure. If she's running something like PC Anywhere or whatever that is, any one of those?
Well, there's a couple of web-based ones that you can install.
The Windows one wouldn't work? They have remote control on Windows?
Yeah, any one of those.
Well, she has to have her firewall open for that and her router open for that.
Right. But if those are open and you can in fact log in... Then you should be able to do it remotely, because it's not what you're going to do is completely delete the stuff and then reboot.
Right.
And theoretically, it will just find it and install it. But during that reboot, you will get disconnected.
Right.
Yeah, there's a couple of temporary remote access programs that are kind of nice. So someone doesn't have to have it set up to begin with. Join.me from the Log Me In people. It's web-based. They type a code in on their machine. You type the code in on your machine, and then you get remote control.
Okay.
It's really nice. We've used that for tech support. It's so nice that the bad guys are now using it for fake tech support.
Yeah.
And it's a real program, so it's not something you can block easily.
Okay. So that sounds like a better option than the one that Windows has installed.
Well, that's installed okay, but the problem is if she's behind a firewall, which she probably is, then her computer doesn't accept inbound connections. So you have to open your firewall. You have to know her IP address. So there's a lot of little things you have to set up. Or you run remote access software on her computer ahead of time, like Log Me In or TeamViewer or Go to My PC. TeamViewer is still free for personal use. Log Me In just discontinued their free product. So you have that running all the time, just waiting for you to be able to log into her computer remotely.
Right.
And then you don't have to worry about firewalls and routers and stuff.
All right. So I will do that. I probably will do this. It's join.me.
Yeah, they have a free for basic use for screen. It's screen sharing is now the easy word to remember. We used to call it remote access or remote control, but you're sharing your screen with somebody else.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right. Good luck.
Yep. And that actually brings up the point, if someone calls you or you get a pop-up message saying, you know, so-and-so would like to connect to your computer, say no.
Right.
Unless you know the person at the other end, because there are so many fake tech support popping up like that these days.
Exactly. I should probably let everybody know, because people have been asking on Facebook and Google Plus every freaking day. This Tuesday at 2 o'clock, I will be getting a green light. So I'm very excited. I'm not sure if I should put on a tie, but I'll be ready.
At least it's early enough in the afternoon that you won't forget to go to bed.
Not exactly.
No, he'll be up all night.
He'll still be up all night.
No, I have to take my daughter to the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning.
And then you come home and play with it more.
Right. No, on Tuesday morning. Oh, you mean stay up all night Tuesday night?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. No question of that. Yeah. Yeah.
You're retired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I keep telling my wife and my daughter, don't expect... The internet will be faster, but don't expect it to all be instantaneous, because you're still waiting for the machine at the other end.
Yeah.
What this will really mean is that when my wife is watching Netflix and I'm watching Netflix and my daughter is watching Netflix and we're all watching three different things,
mm-hmm.
that there isn't going to be any hiccups. Any hiccups, exactly.
Yeah.
Or as most folks would see it as
caching.
Well, here's a question for you to ask the Greenlight people. In fact, if you're listening, answer us. Does Greenlight have a Netflix caching server in their location?
Oh, that's very true. So in their data center.
One of the problems with the way the internet works is say you have three people in the household watching Netflix. Netflix's server has to send three copies of a video to your house. In fact, if you're watching the same video, it's even worse, because they have to send the same video three times across the entire internet. So one of the things that Netflix does to make that better is they will put basically a replication server of all of their movies inside an ISP's central office in a city.
Right.
And that way it doesn't have to go across the whole internet. It just has to go across your city, which is a lot easier and makes things more
particularly
faster.
Because now you're in their network, which theoretically is as fast as you're going to get it.
Yeah. And that's been a big point of contention between Netflix and a lot of ISPs. That Netflix is slow and people are blaming Netflix. And so Netflix is saying, no, it's your internet provider is congested. And in the olden days, there were internet peering agreements where internet providers agreed to pass all their traffic for free with every other internet provider, because it was pretty much balanced. You got as much traffic as you gave, and so that was fine. But now with video streaming services like Netflix and YouTube and Vimeo and a bunch of the other ones, internet providers are getting much more data from Netflix than is ever going to Netflix. So they're out of balance. And so the internet providers are forcing Netflix to pay additional money for that bandwidth. So Netflix has to pay their own provider, and they're now paying Comcast to deliver content to Comcast customers. AT&T has popped up, Level 3 has popped up. And so a lot of these other providers are now saying, Netflix, you have to pay us too. And from Netflix's point of view, that's triple paying for the same service. But from the internet provider's point of view, it's they're carrying too much traffic and they're not getting a balanced load, and so they should be paid extra for that. And so there's this big fight. The whole way the internet works is shifting from people sending tiny bits of information out and receiving a relatively small website and moving now into the streaming video. And so that brings up the whole net neutrality issue, that the net should be neutral, data should be passed. Netflix, but that becomes a business point. Should Netflix have to pay Comcast so Comcast can deliver the content to their customers? And so one of the ways Netflix is working around that is they're paying to put their replication servers inside of ISPs. But it's a huge mess, and Nick brought the article up. We'll talk about probably after the break President Obama's net neutrality statements this week.
Right. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 40 minutes after the hour, sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. We were talking about net neutrality and the president's net neutrality proposal that wants to put into effect. And the four big pieces of that are no blocking. So if the content is legal, your ISP should not be permitted to block it. If it's legal,
yep,
right? So child porn, stuff like that would be blockable, but the legal content would not. And that's legal here in the United States for everybody who wants to call up and pick a nit. Don't bother. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
No throttling. Then ISP should not be able to slow down somebody else's feed because they don't want to carry it or whatever.
Well, and that's one of the issues between Netflix and Comcast and other ISPs,
right,
is that Comcast has their own video on demand service that they would rather you watch instead of Netflix.
Right.
And so that's the worry, is that these ISPs, if there was a big issue with Verizon, people were claiming they were intentionally slowing down Netflix to make Netflix bad so you would use Verizon's on-demand services.
Right. The third one is increased transparency. And that means right now that last mile between the ISP and the consumer is kind of hidden. The only person who knows anything about it is mm-hmm. the ISP themselves.
Right.
And so by increasing transparency, everybody knows more about it. And the fourth one is no paid prioritization. So Verizon can't say to Netflix, pay me to be faster.
Right.
And that's essentially net neutrality. And
yeah. The sort of the Weasley word that has been coming in there is, you can pay me not to be slower.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm not violating the law that says pay to be faster.
Mm-hmm. Well, but this says no paid prioritization.
Right. We're not prioritizing you.
Oh, yes, you are. Yeah. It's a lower priority.
Yep.
So if you don't pay me to be faster, you're slower. And they're saying no blocking, no throttling, no paid prioritization, and increased transparency, which I'm all for. I'm all for net neutrality. I think, I get it. You're whining because you're not making enough money. Well, you know what?
How many
That's what capitalism is about. Mm-hmm. If you can't compete, get out of the market.
Now, does this, I haven't dug deep enough into it, is this landlines and cellular too?
This is everything, as far as I can tell.
There's differences in the rules between the landlines and the cellular services, because the cellular services do all of this already.
Yep.
Yeah, but the phone lines, I mean, for the most part.
Well, not phone, but cable, internet, DSL internet.
Yeah, DSL though, but DSL is DSL. They can't sit there and offer you more because it's over old copper.
Yeah.
Says here, wired and wireless.
Wired and wireless, yeah.
But the thing that is, though, is unlike, you know, the cable people, where they can, you know, you can request and pay for faster internet access.
Right.
As far as DSL, DSL is DSL. There is no slow, fast, or anything else. It just is.
Right.
Because it's old copper. And
right.
But it works. I mean, yeah. I've got DSL and I love it. I've had it since day one. And it works for me, and I have no problem with that.
Yeah, there are ways to get faster DSL by bonding lines, but right. You have to put in all new wires.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. But it's if you want faster that you have to move off of DSL.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
But DSL is awfully
inexpensive. To something
inexpensive.
Like, oh, maybe green light?
Yeah, exactly like green light.
And they are putting in all new wire.
The low end of DSL is only $20 a month. Well, if you don't watch Netflix and you mostly just do email and blah, 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 $20 a month is awfully good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We see that a lot in our store where everyone who comes in with a Roadrunner address, we try to sell them a cable modem so they don't have to rent the one that the prices just went up with at Time Warner. Frontier doesn't allow you to do that yet.
Right.
But we also take a look at their internet services, and there are people that are paying for super ultra max, you know, everything, when all they do is email and web surfing. Right. But then it turns out, you know, what do you do on the web? I just surf the web. Yeah, I go into Facebook and play games, or I go to YouTube and watch videos.
Exactly.
That's now you need a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a couple different people in the house looking at different YouTube videos. Or kids playing video games. Now you need to start upping that speed.
Well, I learned that lesson a long time ago. Somebody told me, "What do I need?" And I said, "What do you do?" And they gave me the "Oh, nothing. Surf the web, blah blah." And about a month, I told them this is probably going to be just fine for you. They came back a month later and said, "Your idea was lousy because." Now I'm getting all this stuttering when I Skype with my grandchildren in California. Well, I asked you if you did video. Well, Skype isn't video to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I get that. I get it. But
you used to need $1 million video studio at each end to do video conferencing.
Well, right. Now all you need is any kind of tablet or phone.
Yep.
Right. All right, back to the phones. And the next caller is our pal, Al. Al, you're in, where are you calling from? Not in the city.
Well, I'm in Penfield, but I have a Rochester mailing address.
Ah, Penfield, okay.
So I pay Penfield town taxes and Webster school taxes.
Sure.
One of those crazy
places.
Because
why not make it as crazy as possible?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And when there's a fire, then I just run around with my head cut off.
Yeah.
No, Webster covers this, and they do a very good job. So. Hey, I'm going to throw a different type of question at you. You were just talking about net neutrality, and you're sort of bouncing around on it, and I'm just curious as to where your thoughts are, or your emotions are, because so if in the case of Netflix, which I use a lot and I enjoy, if they're swamping the internet with all their data, who should pay for all that?
And that is the question that the ISPs are asking, and right now the answer is Netflix should pay every ISP for that ISP to carry Netflix's traffic.
Okay, so my question...
And Netflix is saying we don't want to pay that much.
Okay, so my question is to you guys, what do you think? Who should pay for all the infrastructure, the towers and the fiber and everything else that goes into supporting that huge volume of traffic?
Yeah.
Well, I have to look at it broader than one company. Okay, the network nowadays, the internet, is the channel of commerce of the 21st century. And if we start allowing the people who run the highways to decide you pay more, you pay less, then we no longer have a level playing field for the next big thing.
We may never have gotten YouTube or Netflix if that was the case then.
Okay, so, but here's the problem I see with that. And I'm going to use your highway example. You have the New York State Thruway.
Right.
Everyone pays to use it. Big, heavy trucks that put more wear and tear on the highway and the bridges pay more. So, big, heavy Netflix puts more wear and tear on the system. Shouldn't they pay more?
Well, that's an excellent point. But if you are... But how many companies have not started up long-distance hauling because they can't afford that initial hit this early in their business model? And that's the thing that they're that is the question at heart. I don't have an answer for that, but I know that it, that question exists, and I know that there are people looking into that, and that's one of the reasons for net neutrality.
And it may end up changing the pricing model for internet services. Now, right now, most people pay a flat rate, you know, $20, $40, $60 a month,
maybe
whatever.
It's a fat flat rate.
Yeah. Per month, no matter how much internet they use. And the internet companies want to change that. So many companies have overage fees. They have caps and overage fees because they want you to pay more if you use more. And the, usual analogy is electricity and water. You use more, you pay more, and you know that. The difficulty comes would come from people who have to stop and think, if I wanna watch this movie, is it gonna cost me more on my internet? And so if Netflix has to pay the ISPs, they may have to raise their prices. If the ISPs can charge customers on a usage-based billing, it's likely our prices will go up. So that's sort of the bottom line. Whatever happens, the prices will probably go up.
Yeah.
But the other thing that President Obama did is that he's calling for, he hasn't done anything, issued an order or anything. He's calling for states to end their ban on community broadband. There are many states that make it illegal for a community to have broadband that they either give or sell to the people in that community. And that was built by lobbyists, basically, who are trying to protect the ISP. I remember one of the early cases in Philadelphia where the city of Philadelphia was putting in broadband, and the ISP serving the city sued the city saying that's restraint of trade. Well, you've already got a monopoly. How can that be a restraint of trade?
Right.
Well, but yeah.
But you're wandering into a different area of public utilities and government granted monopolies. So right. I'm not sure I want to quite diversify the conversation into that. But I'm going to come back to what I think the key thought is that when there's increased usage, somebody's going to have to pay for the infrastructure to support it, and somebody's going to have to pay money to pay for those changes. It's going to be the consumer, bottom line. So
Whether Netflix's prices go up or the ISP's prices go up, someone has to pay for it, and it's probably going to end up being us, the consumer.
And you're right.
And it should be.
The interstate highway system is toll-based, but the local system is not toll-based.
It's tax-based.
Right. It's tax-based. So the theory there is, if I'm paying my local ISP for internet service up to a certain amount, then I have a right to use up to that amount. And if I use it 1 hour a day or 24 hours a day, I've still paid that. If I get in my car and drive what's left of the Interloop 24 hours a day, I don't pay more to do that in taxes than I'm paying right now. If I drive it at 20 or at 70, assuming I don't get a ticket, I don't pay more for that than I do right now.
Sure you do.
If I stay, well, in gas, but that's an artifact of the fact that I'm driving a car.
But you're back to the wear and tear, and you're occupying bandwidth.
There's no wear and tear
on
my modem.
Right. So you are paying 60 cents, the last figure I saw, per gallon.
Right, and I understand that, but I'm saying that's all an artifact of the car. And now that muddies the question I'm raising.
You're using the road, wears the road out, meaning they have to pay to fix it sooner.
Right.
And except that it's the same. I don't pay more for that.
Right. Until the taxes go up.
So my point is, if I'm paying, let's say I've got... green light, and I'm paying $70 a month for 50 meg. Suddenly, I can't remember what it is.
50 for 100.
Thank you. Wow. 75 for 50 is...
Time Warner.
Time Warner, thank you. I'm paying $50 a month for 100 megabits. Should Greenlight have the right to say, well, you used 50 megabits for an hour, so that's okay, but you used it for 3 hours, so we're going to charge you more?
You're not going to like this answer, but yes, and you've seen it already, because really what they're doing is they're saying all the Nick Francescos in Rochester, we know what their average usage is, and if we charge them $50 for 100 megabit bandwidth, we know they really only consume so many gigabytes of data per month on average. And as long as that holds true, then their pricing will stay steady. But when that goes through the roof, such as we've seen in the last 10 years, when using a megabit of data would take you several hours, now all of a sudden you can do it in 10 seconds.
Right, but that's their gamble.
No, it's not a gamble.
It was. When they started out, their entire business model is predicated on that gamble.
Right. So that was the days of unlimited data when you bought your cell phone, et cetera, et cetera. That's all gone away. Now when you buy cellular service, you buy a certain quantity of data per month for that price.
I understand right. That's the way
and
it is.
And that's and a difference between landline and cellular.
And what I'm saying is that's not necessarily the way it should be.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. When they do flat pricing for a consumer, they're basing on what's the average user. And when all the average users quadruple their usage, they've got to reprice it. And they do.
But
I'm running out of time.
Sadly, okay. We're running out of time. I'm afraid we got to take a break.
Okay, bottom line, nothing's free. And anyone who starts saying we're going to give everyone bandwidth for free, a la the government, is fooling
everybody. Well, they're
everybody.
Not saying free, though. Go read what they're saying. What they're saying is everybody should play under the same rules. If you actually go read the document, which is available online, it's a very different document than, oh, this is free.
Yeah, but that's back into tariffs and monopolies. That's a different discussion.
No, you really go read the document. It's a very different document from everybody should get it free.
Okay.
All right, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's Sound Bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side for a whole nother hour.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And, you know, I was thinking about this during the break, and Steve and I were talking about it. And I think the thing that bothers me most about all this is that I was promised one thing by my ISPs and my cellular provider.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed the game in the middle.
Yeah.
That's the part that bothers me.
Yeah, because we're always used to always having been paying for water usage and electric usage and gas usage.
Right.
But we're used to paying a flat rate for internet usage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was mentioning earlier about cellular. We're used to paying a flat rate for home internet, no matter how much we used. But cellular internet, we have a cap and we pay overage fees.
Well, except we didn't used to have a cap.
Right. There didn't used to be cellular internet.
Well, but when I got cellular internet, it was a flat rate. It was unlimited
data, yep.
Yeah.
Okay, and there we are.
And that only lasted for a little while on all the carriers until they realized they can make a lot more money with overage fees so that they stopped.
Well, this broke right off.
Set screw broke off.
Set screw broke off. Okay.
Oh, good. So you can hold the mic for a while.
I'll be holding the mic now for the rest of the show. Yeah. I don't know if there are any other set screws sitting in a drawer somewhere. Rob, if you're listening, the set screw holding the microphone cage on the arm has broken off. So if there's a set of them somewhere that you could tell us about,
Let me see if I can find something to jury rig.
That would be great.
Zip ties.
Zip ties. I'll take zip ties.
Believe it or not, I got them out in my car.
I don't doubt that. All right. So where were we? Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the deal. What really bothers me in particular, there's a zip tie. What bothers me in particular, of course, is the fact that I was told one thing, another telling me something else.
Yeah.
And I guess the change has to happen. I get that. It doesn't mean I like it.
And we've seen people dropping land telephone lines because they're all have cell phones now. We've seen people cutting cable TV cords because they're using internet television. What's going to happen now that you're paying usage-based billing on your landline and land internet and usage-based billing on your cellular? Are we going to cut down on those bills? Are we going to have to be more careful about, you know, what we download, what we watch? Yeah, are we gonna pay the overage fee? Because as I was mentioning during the break, if the net neutrality laws go into place that ISPs cannot throttle you, then they'll put caps on and charge you overage fees, and that's always been worse to get that, you know, $1,000 extra monthly bill because you went over, versus if it slows down, at least you know you're close to your cap.
And
the ISPs have not been very good at warning people when they're close to their caps.
Well, and that's certainly part of it. It's hard to know just how much you've used. I mean, I can watch my gas tank needle go down. Yep. I can see I drive X number of miles, and suddenly the New York State Thruway system is charging me more on my Easy Pass. But it's hard to see that. It's kind of a hidden amount.
And
good job.
Then yours breaks. And the fact that if there's usage-based billing, then we will be paying to have ads delivered to us.
That's a problem.
Yeah, and other stuff we don't want will be being delivered to us over our internet channel that we are paying for, and we don't want that.
Right. So can they promise me ad-free internet? I believe they cannot.
Right.
And so who pays for me to see those ads?
Yeah, it's got to be subsidized some way.
Yep. It's a lot more messy than the things that we compare it to.
Holy crap, I've used 200 gigs of data so far this month. How is that possible?
Well, and that's my point.
Well, that's the other thing though. With the ads though, then that also opens up the door. Because if they are, you know, renting that space out, say at the top or the bottom, to have these ads, you know, be there, the other, you know, people could be hacked into that.
300 meg last month.
As far as the, you know, the spyware and malware. Because, you know, if the ad company's just throwing it up there and, you know, who knows how they wrote their code and everything else for displaying the ads and links and everything else in that ad that, you know, because quite often you click on it.
Right.
And it takes you somewhere else, mm-hmm. if you see that particular ad, that they couldn't be hacked. And
even worse, how many sites do we go to now where suddenly video starts playing immediately? I'm paying for that now.
Yeah.
If I'm paying by the megabyte, I'm paying for them to show me that ad, and there's no opt-out for that.
Yeah. It is. It's just...
So it's a much messier... Yeah. A question than all the and a situation than all the analogies for it lend it to. So we're probably not going to solve that now. But there are other questions, computer type questions, that we could solve. And you could give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
We can kind of tell we got a new computer in our house for Christmas this year. On Friday the 26th, we downloaded 33 gigabytes of new data on the new computer. On Saturday the 27th, we downloaded 56 gigabytes in one day.
Yep. And updates.
Yep.
Who pays for those updates?
Yep.
You know, if Microsoft is going to be updating my system all the time, I'm paying for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, whose fault is it that I have to update? Is it their bad programmers then they should be paying for that.
Well, they'll never admit that. They're always going to say these are enhancements.
I understand that, but you see my point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So it's a double-edged sword.
It's a much messier question than any of the analogies.
Like my grandfather used to say, it's still going to be a stink stick, and no matter how they shake it, it's going to stink either way.
Yep. Uh-oh. We have a guest in the studio. Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen, is here in the studio with us, and we're very excited to see him. And we jury-rigged this.
Shutting Nick down for a moment here. Yeah, so it's difficult to know.
Oh, I see. So we're gonna fix this.
That's one way to fix it. You hold the mic.
This is how you tell who the professional
is. Yeah. Hey, my zip tie didn't do too bad.
No, your zip tie was good. I liked the zip tie. We have a zip tie holding this up, but Rob is in there now doing something else.
Playing Tim the Tool Man.
Nibs and
now he's going to cut that off. Very nice.
Did you see Tim Taylor's new show? What is it? Last Man Standing?
Yes, I love that.
The wife from the old show.
Okay, that works. Thanks. Yeah. I'm feeling good about this.
Yeah, he had the wife from the old show on complaining about her husband and what a tool he was last week. Yep.
Yeah.
And then the neighbor Larrabee put a hat on and was standing behind the window like
Wilson.
Yep.
Remember Wilson? Yep. You know, always be like, neighbor, be over the fence and all that.
Fine. It just needed to be re-screwed on, you clowns. Sorry.
Well, the end of the hardware guy.
Don't look at me.
Yeah.
Of computers, not
it's
audio.
Live radio at its best here. Go ahead.
That's right. We're just having fun.
Carry on.
Mine's working fine.
Yeah, yours had the drooping problem for a while.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Not anymore. No, it's so high that sometimes I have to get a stepladder because Rob's way up there.
Carry on.
You were carrying.
Carry on, carry over, carry under.
Repairs being carried out in the...
you wanted to come and see us anyways.
You know you had nothing else to do today.
Well, I have to say this. This is my second trip here today. A couple of days ago, something massive infiltrated the school district's network.
Mm-hmm.
No email anywhere works. Shared drives don't work. It's been a whole thing. And in the process, killed our automation system. So all night, there was no music. All it did was play promos.
Oh, good.
So this is my second trip. I've been here at 5:45 this morning, and now I'm back here. That's okay. I don't have a life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, hang on. Here you go.
Well, you can pay the big bucks.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
He gets paid in Canadian dollars. They're larger than the American dollar.
And more colorful.
You know, that Canadian money, that gets me. Because we've got a machine at work. You can put a $5 bill in it. You know, spit out those $1 coins.
Yeah.
And it spit out a Canadian one. You go to put it in to another time to use it. It says, sorry, don't accept Canadian money. Well, then why did you give it to me?
Exactly.
Somebody got in there. In fact, there's been problems in the online worlds.
You're good.
The Apple store shut down.
Have a donut.
Yeah.
I haven't got a donut.
There's one out.
He came in and got the donut. Then he came in to work on this. Yeah.
That's how that goes.
But because of the fluctuating currency prices, there was a problem in online stores, and there were reports that Apple took the Canadian store offline and raised the prices. They took the Russian store offline to raise the prices to more match what the actual exchange rate is now. The Canadian dollar is as low as it's been in decades. It was 81 cents, I think I read.
Hmm.
That was always the fun about going to Canada is you exchange your money, you give them $100 and you get $200 back. Wow.
Yeah.
So I have a question. I was listening to you on the way here when I heard the microphone break. And the last caller you had about net neutrality, you understood what he was saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He brings up really interesting points. I find he does.
I'm not arguing that. His points aren't valid.
And that's why it's such a complicated issue.
It is a very complicated issue, and it makes a lot of sense. But it's just like, you know, what I want to know is, you know, is there an argument to be said for if somebody uses more, should they be paying more? In that, like, his whole analogy of if you drive $390 more than the next person, should your taxes? But you know what I'm saying? You guys had a really interesting discussion, and I just wanted to chime in on that.
I can't disagree with anything else said. However, I also look at it on the other side. If someone, see now that one is the same thing. If someone is, a lot of companies have said, and you know maybe they were just saying, but a lot of companies have said, had net neutrality, had the net not been neutral when I started this company.
Well, somebody needs to explain. Explain what net neutrality is, because I don't think everybody understands what net neutrality is.
All right. What it basically means is that everybody has the same rights on the internet as everybody else. In fact, we have a thing from the president on what he wants net neutrality to be. And basically what this is saying... And if you listen to it, there's nothing in it about costs, right? But what it says is no blocking. So I can't, let's say I'm Comcast.
Well, and that was the argument about Comcast.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people are scared to death about Comcast coming in.
Yep.
Because in essence, they're putting up speed limits for certain people and not for, when I say certain people, the Netflixes of the
right,
world.
Right.
Well, and that's the throttling issue, the second issue.
And right. That's why I always say to people, be scared about what's going to happen if, in fact, Comcast does come in, right? I mean, is that still
right.
an accurate?
Well, and if you have Time Warner.
Correct.
Right, because they have nothing to say about Frontier or Greenlight.
Right.
So I'm moving to Greenlight on Tuesday.
Yeah, by the way. yes.
Yeah, there are cameras now.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, congratulations on that. Let us know how that works out.
Yeah, I know what you meant by congratulations, too. Thank you. Fewer syllables, more words. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will let you know. I'll have a LAN party at my house.
Well, you know, I don't know. He brought up some very interesting points. He brought up some very interesting points, too. And that's a discussion that nobody seems to be talking about unless you're an IT person or unless you're a
lobbyist. Well, because
lobbyist.
It's so messy.
Yeah. It's extremely messy and unorganized, surprise, surprise, federal government.
Right,
but
right.
It's just like, you know, we are on the cusp of having this new company come through. And we are so reliant on, and actually you shared something that was interesting earlier this week on Facebook with the compare and contrast cost of, you know, somebody who's quote unquote cutting the cable or cutting the cable. Mm-hmm. And we're not cutting the cable necessarily because we're still relying, and of course, in your case, you
right.
won't be,
right.
but we're still relying on that company to provide us web,
right.
not necessarily
internet
TV,
access, yeah.
internet access. So it's a very interesting discussion, but yeah, they need to figure out what's going on because if that company, Comcast, comes through and this stuff isn't organized out, we're all going to get kind of, a lot
right.
of us will get hosed.
Right. So what the government is saying is, and they're not talking about money at all, they're saying no blocking, so Comcast could not block Netflix. No throttling, so Comcast can't throttle Netflix.
To make you use a Comcast video service.
No paid prioritization. So you can't say to Netflix, pay me to stay on top.
Right.
And number four is increased transparency. Right now... Nobody knows what happens in that last mile, right? Nobody knows what happens from Time Warner to you or Greenlight to you. And now what they're saying is there has to be some transparency so we can be sure you're applying the net neutrality
rules. And what's interesting, too, is you and I have had conversations offline about Greenlight and stuff like that, and the fact that they still, the reason why they're not rolling out like gangbusters is because they need permission from, wait for it, you know, to get on the polls and stuff like that. So it's all a very... It's a scary thing.
And fortunately, Rochester doesn't have a ban... against other companies coming in.
Right.
So in some cities, the lobbyists have been able to say, you know, we have our ISP, no one else can come in because they have
Thank goodness.
License.
Thank goodness.
Now, what's really interesting
And I think
is
a lot
that
of that is Phil Dampier at stopthecap.com bringing this awareness up years ago when they started because Frontier was threatening a 5 gigabyte cap per month. And we were just talking about running 200 or 300 gigabytes a month. If that cap had gone through, we'd all be really screwed.
Right. And what's interesting is that the ISPs, the big players, Time Warner and Comcast, all threatened Google and said, we will push legislation through that makes you just like us. Google said, oh, yes, please, throw me in that briar patch.
Right.
Because that means we have all the right... to access all the polls that you do, exactly the same way you do it. Yes, please, right now.
Right. I don't know. It's just a very interesting discussion, but I'll let you guys back. Good job. Don't break anything else. All right. Seriously.
How did I break? I didn't break it. It fell right off.
See, what you have to do with these things is you always have to reach up and make sure that it's, you know, we're nonprofit here. You know what I'm saying?
I understand we're nonprofit, but this thing is a tiny little, it should be a little long. Never mind. I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, maybe Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 21 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415, just like George did from Greece, New York. Welcome, George. What's up?
Need some help, fellas.
Go.
Have you heard about the broadband expansion that the governor wants to provide for all people in New York State?
No.
Well, we may hear more this week. I thought you could explain to me how it might be done, what it is it represents. I just got a few key words here. Expand broadband internet access so it will be connected to all New Yorkers by 2019.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. A lot of municipalities and even governors and it's kind of started with the national broadband plan are trying to expand broadband access, especially into rural counties. If you live near or in a big city, you probably have access to a couple of different internet services, although it usually is only two, you know, the phone company and the cable TV company. But if you live a little farther out, you're too far away for DSL, you don't have cable access, so you pretty much end up with either a horribly slow dial-up or really fast, really expensive satellite internet. And so the government, starting with the federal government and working its way down through, are trying to get more broadband pushed out into more and more communities.
And in New York State in particular, Cuomo wants to, is going to offer $500 million, that's $500 million, in public funds for internet service providers who will match the state dollar for dollar. So,
okay.
And those ISPs who pick up on this plan will be required to offer a minimum of 100 megabit per second download speeds in certain limited cases, 25 megabits per second for really remote, underserved, and unused areas. But it doesn't say what the upload speeds will be. But 100 megabits download, which is
a lot more than most people are getting already.
Well, it's what I'll be getting.
Yeah. Well,
my suggestion, of course, and I'm sure they're already on this, is the folks at Greenlight really ought to jump on this and essentially take money they were planning to use anyway and double it.
Yep. And a lot of this started with the National Broadband Initiative at broadband.gov when the first phase of that was people reporting their speeds and how fast they were getting. And that ended up generating a conversation of how fast it should be to be called broadband, because in some places, you know, broadband is 2 or 3 megabits. Yes, it's faster than the modem, but it's nowhere near, you know, the 10 or 15 or 20 that most people would consider really broadband. And so trying to bring in that 100 megabit line would be really good.
Yeah. And what they're saying is the minimum speed, I think, was 6 megabits. Well, he wants it to be 100 megabit. 100 megabit per second download in rural areas, 25 megabit. There you go. But there are a lot of places that, like you said, don't get 1 megabit.
Yep.
And some of that is because they are very remote and very rural. I do understand that. But what the governor is saying is, and it's because, like I said at the top of the first hour, the internet is the financial driver of the 21st century. It's the thing that makes us that gives us that engine of commerce. It's the word I was phrase I was looking for. It's the engine of commerce of the 21st century. As my friend Jerry Seward says, it's the Erie Canal of the 21st century. And by locking people out, by not offering that superhighway, we're stifling the economic growth of our state. And that's why the governor is offering $500 million in public funds to make sure that more of the state gets that speed. I think it's a great idea. I'm not going to be the guy who gets into the discussion about do we have the money, where do we get the money, it all comes out of our pockets, yada, yada, yada. I think that in the long run, giving us that ability to increase our ability to get at data. It's not just for businesses, and it's not just for you to watch Netflix. It's also for kids to be able to use it to, and this may come as a shock to a number of you, but there's actually a lot of educational content on the internet as well. I know. I'm glad you were sitting down. I hope you weren't driving when you heard that. But that gives these kids an opportunity, and adults who are adult learners, an opportunity to get at that stuff a little bit easier, a little bit faster, a little bit better.
And the New York State Broadband Program Office is likening it to the Rural Electrification Acts in the 1930s, where President Franklin and the Tennessee Valley Authority was one of the big ones, electrified rural America. And so now we're doing the same thing with broadband. And actually, that's part of the problem is 100 years ago, we put copper wire in, and it's the same copper wire we're using now. Right. But it's the same sort of initiatives that we're trying to get high-speed broadband internet to the rural areas so that those people aren't left behind and left out of you know, modern society.
Does that help, George?
Well, it does partially. First of all, let me say the figure I heard was $1 billion. And the idea of matching it with the providers was in that same conversation, but we won't quibble over that.
Yeah. Well, this is in fact his own press release says $500 million.
Okay.
So if you add because it's a 1-for-1 match, it turns out to be $1 billion all told that might be spent in New York State.
Yeah, that sounds like the way he would announce it.
Yeah.
So now, at what price though? At what cost to the user? That's the part. It's one thing to say it's not there, and then you fellows between you very clearly covered the fact that, well, it is there at certain price to the user, but that may be that it's an unreasonable price. Almost all the schools are tied into this already, so go wherever you want. I'm sure you're going to find a school that's connected.
Right, right. And so I agree with you. People have asked. That is not stated in his initial talk. And people have asked that, and there's been no answer yet as to how much, you know, is there going to be some limit on the price point that ISPs would be required to offer?
Okay.
Yeah, now, there's no answer to that yet.
Maybe like publicly funded lunches, if you haven't show a need, you get a discounted internet service.
Right.
Well, I don't care to speculate. I was curious to know what you might have known about it.
Right. No, now, nobody knows that part yet.
You've touched upon an interesting dichotomy. You talk about, what's the name of it, green light or green something?
Yeah, green light.
But they would be the last one to get out into the remote areas, as I understand it. They're getting trouble justifying the investment in the more dense areas.
Yes, I agree with that.
So that would be a long way away.
Well, except that if they could offer it for what would essentially be half, if they could build it for what would essentially be half, they could go farther faster.
Well, starting from the dense areas.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and that's true all over the place. I mean, although they talk about this,
if you spend the money there, then you don't spend it out in the outlying areas.
I completely agree with that.
Okay.
But what they're saying is, at no point does this seem to say you can only go in the underserved areas. It doesn't say that at all here.
And that that's the problem from the ISP's end is the capital expense of running the new technologies, the fiber we're doing now. And you know, 30, when did cable TV come out? They had to run the coax, and then before that it was running the copper. And so there's a huge initial investment in running the wire. And so that's why they go to the areas with the highest demand first to help offset that cost.
Right.
And hopefully, if with these grants available, they'll be able to go into the smaller areas. And for all of you listening, if you want faster internet for cheaper, you know, go to greenlightnets.com and put in your
greenlightnetworks.com.
Greenlightnetworks.com and put in your address to get your community up on the list. But eventually they'll service everyone. And it's the same thing we've seen with cable TV, that they started in the most dense areas and have worked their way out and eventually are servicing more and more. Although it's frustrating how long it's taken to even get cable to the more rural areas. We still have customers that come in and say that they're too far, you know, down a side road. There's not enough customers to justify the cost of cable TV and cable internet. So they still have to use satellite.
But satellite is competitive with cable.
It's usually more expensive and slower.
Uh-huh.
But if that's your only option, other than dial-up, which is really slow, then...
But when you say expensive, I've known people to switch over. I don't get the impression that it's very much more expensive.
Well, it's two things. First is the ones I've seen, and I don't know that this is true for all of them. It's satellite down, but landline... phone up.
Okay.
So, which is not generally a problem, but also means you're paying for phone line and.
Because usually the only thing you upload is the URL request.
Right.
Okay. And I didn't hear you talk along the way about wireless connection to phone.
Well, that's generally internal to your home, right?
No, I'm talking about. I'm not sure now. I thought that I could buy a service from Sprint or other companies that would allow me to go from my computer to, a phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see what you're asking. Yes, that exists. And right now that you pay for that just like you pay for a cell phone.
But that's competitive, isn't it?
Well, yes and no. most of them are throttled, or rather, most of them are capped.
Mm-hmm.
So you only get X number of megabits per or gigabits per month. So if what you're doing is checking email, it's not a big deal, but you don't really want to watch Netflix with it, and you're not going to watch video with it. And if you go to websites that auto-start video, that's cutting way down suddenly on the amount of on your usage, and it becomes a bigger mess.
So your acquaintance with the industry, does it tell us something about how many or what percentage of the population as what level of service? Are those facts and figures available?
Those are available at broadband.gov. That was one of their reports, is how fast people were getting and how fast they were supposed to be getting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know exactly where it is there, but it's in there somewhere.
There's a whole bunch of that stuff out there. Now, that's the government's full plan, so it talks about the whole nation as such. There is a set of working reports on the broadband availability gap, which is what you're asking about, the broadband assessment model, the network cost model for performance. One of the other big things, of course, one of the big questions is we now have the ability to do healthcare providing via the internet. Right?
Telepresence.
Telepresence. Yeah. From one hospital to another, so I can, if I'm a doctor in a hospital, I can quickly call up a colleague who might be an expert in the area that I need right now.
But these people aren't in need of any service.
No. I'm talking about I'm a doctor.
No, I understand that, but the idea of selling this, it's getting sold over and over and over again. And that's what I'm suspicious is happening here.
Well, except that we don't have that capability right now in small rural hospitals.
I would question that.
What
small rural hospital do you know of that doesn't have that?
Lots of them. Lots and lots of them all over the nation.
You haven't named any.
They're starting to use Skype because that's available.
Because that's cheap.
Yeah.
Listen, all of that is brought out in these documents, which you should read. I don't really have time to read them to you over the radio right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported, Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And did you forget you were
yeah.
here?
Yeah.
At 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Paul from Brighton on the line. Hiya, Paul. What's up?
Hi. I've had Windows 7 installed in my system for quite some time, but a couple of days ago, came down, the machine had apparently rebooted, there was a message on the screen saying that I had to reactivate Windows, and I went ahead and did that, and then when it came back, I was wondering why that even happened. That's my first question. And second, when I did that, some of the icons on my homepage, you know, the screen were missing. And also the background color, which I had already preset, you know, was also gone. Actually, I had to reset the call it wallpaper, whatever you want to call it. So I was wondering first why that happened and what you think about it.
But all the rest of your stuff
was there. Yeah, nothing else was gone. Is that something that Windows or Microsoft does?
Generally, theoretically, not. What sometimes happens is somebody steals your product activation key. But and it might deactivate your Windows, but you wouldn't be able to just reactivate it again. All you really did was click on a link somewhere, right?
Yeah.
It's just a button there. It said reactivate, and
remember, there was a spoof going out for a while. Remember that people were getting that message that you've got an unregistered version of Windows 7. It hadn't quite a few folks, and they had to get a patch come out for it because they were legit copies. But
that was not the case here. It didn't indicate at all that it was illegal. It was just that you had to reactivate it. It just did not reactivate. It just said activate.
That's what I'm talking about. You had to activate it because it was illegal because it wasn't activated.
Right. Did you make a hardware change of any sort?
Well, about a month or two ago, I did. My system became somewhat corrupted, and I did using a backup from CrashPlan, I did reinstall did a restore from that backup.
I'm sure that was just Microsoft catching up with that.
Okay. Because at the time I did the restore, I did not get that message. It was like I said, just a couple of days ago, which was almost 2 months after I did the restore.
We usually see this after someone makes a hardware change, particularly if it's a big one, like a hard drive or a graphics card or whatever. But it can happen. That it happens on a reinstall of the entire operating system coming back.
Yeah,
is what I did. That's right. Yeah. I had to reinstall the operating.
Yeah, that can happen, and it takes Microsoft. They've got a gazillion of these out there.
Mm-hmm. When it also may have been the Microsoft activation server might have had a hiccup.
Right, might not have been you at all.
Right, there have been issues because Microsoft defaults to you stole Windows unless your computer checks the activation server and says that you're legal. So there have been issues where the activation server is down and people are getting messages that their Windows is illegal.
Okay. Right.
Interesting. Oh, now, does Microsoft check periodically?
No, but there was...
It's just a one-time activation and never check again.
Do you remember back a while ago, there was an issue where it was at least a million people, were getting all of a sudden a notice on their screen that they needed to activate their Windows because it, you know, wasn't legit.
Yeah, there was no indication of that this time.
Yeah, and you didn't have to put any information in.
No, none at all.
Yep. Yeah, then this was legit.
Yeah. Now, you said you had done Windows updates?
Well, I've been doing, ever since I did the reinstallation of Windows, I certainly did the updates. Yeah.
It may have been an update that came through that needed reactivated.
Right. Okay. But it sounds completely legitimate.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yep. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, there's a big problem, especially in the smaller system builders. And if you like buy a copy of Windows on eBay or one of the used sites, that activation key has already been used by somebody.
Right.
And then you activate it, and their Windows gets deactivated.
Right.
And then they try to activate it again, and your Windows can get deactivated. So it's very tricky to try to buy one of these copies from a especially a used site, but people are always trying to find cheaper versions of Windows.
Right.
You know, if you want to buy a full version of Windows, it's $100, and that's a lot.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Walter from Greece, New York. Welcome, Walter. What's up?
Hello there, gentlemen. Several calls ago, Steve mentioned about providing electricity like the TVA project, and that took me down ISP memory lane. which remember when it was bigger competition that even the power companies were going to provide ISP internet service through the power line?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they were also saying, hey, you can even do your own networking. And I remember I could see it in some of the big box stores. You could go ahead, plug something in your wall, and you would have your networking within your house, anywhere you want it to be.
They still make those. The problem is they're slower. I think they were 10 megabit. And at the time, that was fast, but now it's really slow.
Yep.
And then transformers.
Other things I remember is, I don't know if they're still around, but it was like the one gentleman talked about the cell phone towers. I think it was like maybe Clearwire that you could then go ahead and hook up again to your desktop and get the your internet service.
Yeah, there are cellular hotspots are usually called, a little tiny device that brings in cellular and hands out Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
The big companies, Verizon, Sprint, et cetera, make those, and typically there's a data cap. Some of the smaller companies, one my friend has, Cricket, I think it is, some of the smaller cellular companies, they don't have data caps, and that's how they're differentiating themselves. So you buy this cellular box, and you pay $50 a month, say, and you don't have a cap on how much data you can use. Yeah. And some people are using that, especially on mobile devices. You know, you take your laptop out, out and about, and you get on the internet when you're not in cellular. But some people will also use that at home, especially if they don't have access to higher speed internet.
Yeah, and then finally, the other one too is, remember the microwave, that they were setting up microwave towers, and you had your microwave dish on the side of your house that not only gave you your internet service, but then it was a competition to cable because you could buy the TV stations you wanted.
That's exactly right.
Big menu.
There's a lot of choices out there, many of which have been sort of put out of business.
Yeah,
that's part of the deal with net neutrality. What they're saying is, we don't want anybody put out of business anymore.
Yeah, and do you think that while a previous caller was talking about, the governor wants to go ahead and we're going to have internet provided throughout the state? I mean, these, almost some of them sound like quick fixes in a way. It almost sounds like it. You could go ahead, stick up a microwave tower, and there you go, beaming down into the valleys, wherever else there is, and you can provide your internet service.
Well, that's kind of the point of what the governor is saying, is they're providing $500 million in matching funds.
Yeah.
And you do it whatever way you want. So those could all come back.
Yeah, I think that it's possible. You know, again, as Steve was giving out figures, it's, well, you put up with a slower speed, but you know what? It's better than dial-up.
Exactly.
Right.
So, all right.
And some of the cellular companies are using microwave. The technology has been named WiMAX, Worldwide Interoperability for Microwave Access. I think Sprint was using that for a while. A lot of what we've seen is they've shut down the microwave version and are going back to regular radio version with LTE.
Okay.
Which they're both RF, but it's different frequencies.
Yeah. Well, very interesting. That's all I just wanted to bring up, going down memory lane, guys. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah. Typically, microwave internet is used for very long distance links between internet services. So it's used by the backbones.
And microwave is mostly line of sight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're using microwave here, aren't we, to get from the studio to the transmitter?
Yep. And, yes, we are.
Yeah.
There's the one that's right up on the corner of the roof.
And I've seen a bunch of them on buildings downtown.
Yep. Yeah.
beaming data or whatever. Television stations all use them when you see a remote with that huge tower that sticks up from the truck.
Yeah, they're
downtown, especially on the taller buildings and all that. I mean, you can see it, or Pinnacle Hill. You know, any high tower that they can get a clear line of sight. They're trying to see if they can pay to beyond that tower to do the line of sight.
Yep. Microwave doesn't penetrate buildings well, though, does it? That's why you have giant. It's giant antennas on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early satellite TV days, you had that 18-foot antenna outside.
Right.
And even early cell phones had that giant antenna on it. You know, giant at the time was 6 inches.
Right.
But people don't want those giant antennas, so they're cutting it down, and which means you have to use different technologies to be able to pick up that signal.
Yep. Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Well, I really want to thank everybody who called about net neutrality. It's a very messy, very ugly subject, and
that's almost as messy as talking politics.
It is politics. That's the problem. There's a lot of politics involved.
Yeah, but there's another side.
Exactly.
A lot of issues, just like talking politics.
Yep. And so we've certainly seen both sides of it here. My problem is I do see both sides. It's very hard for me to argue.
Yeah.
Because I do see both sides. And this isn't the end of this issue. And we'll see a lot more of this as time goes on. I'm just glad I'm getting... green light this week. I'm very excited about that, and I'm just...
All I can say is I sure as heck hope you do.
Oh, otherwise I'll be so depressed.
Oh, your face will be dragging in here next week.
We had to reschedule
week.
You.
Yeah, yes. yeah.
I'm not coming in. I can't do the show this week. I'm That's depressed. Right. Gotta sit home.
Yeah. Not yet.
And a lot of the net neutrality issue is we want the choice. We want to have several choices that compete on price and speeds to choose from. And with the typical duopoly in most municipalities of the cable company and the phone company, we don't have that choice.
Right. That's exactly right. And the question is, it's that old dichotomy as well between what the consumer should be paying, would like to pay, or however you want to put that, and what the vendor needs in order to continue to providing the service. And, of course, the fact that what's really at stake here is if they don't make more money next quarter, their stockholders are angry. All right, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to those of you to whom we did not get. You really have to call earlier next week. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we'll be back next Saturday, 166 hours from now, with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.